Thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you so much for the blessing of life, life more abundant. Lord, thank you that you gave us voice, breath, and it's written in Psalm 100 that we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, meaning all ye nations. So many people here in this congregation are from the nations. Some are Jewish, but some are from the nations. And so, Lord, together, we're together, we can raise our voices to you. And it's a joyful noise to the Lord, as is written in the scripture. So we're just our name, sound of joy. We can be a sound of joy to you, Lord, in this city and in this season and at this time. Thank you for all the hard work, Lord. They did fantastic for being off 6 weeks. So maybe we need another, double that and we'll get even better, right? But anyway, no, thank you so much. It's hard work. These folks get the music on Mondays and they work all week long to do what they do. And we practice an hour before service. But at that point, everything has to be ready. We can only make minor changes. So the bulk of the work they do on their own. They do their homework. They do it well. And I'm thankful for the commitment that every one of the people on stage have towards you, Lord. It's for you. We do this for you. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Well, we gave you a harder chair this time. Hallelujah. This is electrolytes, and so it actually helps coat the vocal cords and those kinds of things. Plus, it helps with other things. I don't mean to make any noises or anything like that, but it happens. Not glorified yet. This is the maftir for Parashat Ki Tetzeh. So if it were a bar bat mitzvah, this would be the portion that they would chant. I'm not going to chant it, I'm just going to say it in English. Verse 17 of Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy has 34 chapters. So we're getting close. We're getting very close. Verse 17, the maftir. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way as you came out from Egypt. Verse 18. How he happened upon you along the way and attacked those among you in the rear. All of the stragglers behind you when you were tired and weary. The people in the rear is the moms and the kids, the animals, all those. The ones that can't, they're not the warriors. Do you understand? He attacked. He attacked the weakest. He attacked the ones that couldn't defend themselves. That's where he began the attack. He did not fear God. Amalek did not fear God. Verse 19. Now when Adonai your God grants you rest from all the enemies surrounding you, in the land Adonai your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, you are to, quote, blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. And then the maftir, the last word of the last word, is do not forget. Do not forget. Interesting word, blot. The word blot appears 24 times in the scripture. Blot appears 24 references, but when you add the particle is the word out. Blot out. It's 23. It's only one that doesn't have it, and it's in the New Testament. The way you handle verbs that have a particle is that the particle becomes part of the verb. So you're not really dealing, if you're analyzing the word blot out, you treat blot out as if it were the verb. The particle becomes part of the handling of that. And that's how you actually analyze that in computers. That's how we would analyze this word. You know, Google now has all this stuff is quite done, quite well done. And you can have translation available. But sometimes you think, well, out is it's a different word. It's like an adverb. It's something. Well, it's called a particle because when it adjoins to the verb, it gives it extra meaning. Those particles exist in the Hebrew language as well. When you look at the word blot out, not just blot, but blot out, the one with the particle, the one that's 23 times in the scripture, the one that is quoted here, blot out, it's actually in the Hebrew, it means to make obscure, to make insignificant or inconsequential, or to wipe out or to destroy. Okay, so using that, the information, we are to make obscure, make insignificant, make inconsequential, wipe out and destroy the memory of Amalek. Interesting, we're not destroying Amalek. We're destroying the memory of Amalek. We're not capable of destroying Amalek, but there's someone who did. Okay, there's someone who did. Okay, and we're part of his victory. If you look at synonyms, you get a little extra. It's like a little extra on the salad. You know. Here's the synonyms: to eradicate, to erase. We need to eradicate and abolish, erase, wipe out, and destroy the memory of Amalek. The memory of Amalek. Traditionally, the Bar Bat Mitzvah is required to read as a minimum this Maftir portion of the appropriate Torah reading for the Shabbat of their celebration when they become either a daughter or a son of the commandments. The Maftir, Jewish thought says the Maftir is the last word, okay? Or for that parasha, is the last word or the most important word of that parasha. So the last word in today's parashat, which have all these things about what we should and shouldn't do, etc. The last word, okay, is that Yah Adonai wants us to completely eradicate, that means destroy and blot out the memory of Amalek. From anywhere, it says, you know, the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. That means anywhere under the heavens is the human realm. We are to eliminate that. And then it adds this last little piece. Do not forget. I think we forget. I think we forget. I think we go through difficulties. We have a battle with Amalek. Amalek is the enemy, the sworn enemy of Adonai forever. There's not an instance when Amalek turns good. So who does Amalek represent? What is this word? What is this person? What is this? It's actually a real person. How? What is this representing? It represents Satan. There's not ever going to be a repentance for Satan. He's not always, ever going to change his mind. We don't have the power to destroy Satan. But one came from God who did have the power and has the power, and he has given us authority over that power. It's not what we do, it's what he did that we can allude to. So we do go through difficulties, and they're associated with all kinds of things from the evil one. And what happens is that we keep remembering it. I mean, it's like, as an example, let's say Amalek came and hit me right there. Okay? And so, he hit me right there. I mean, Polly, he hit me right here. Jackie, I need prayer. He hit me right here. Okay? And next week I come back and say, what's wrong with you? He hit me right there. When the scripture is clear that we need to erase the memory of Amalek. We need to erase the memory of the evil one and what he's done. Actually, he gets glory when we keep saying it. It's like, he just becomes the center of attention. And he doesn't need any attention. He doesn't deserve any attention. The scripture is so clear. This is so clear as an instruction for us in the body of Messiah. Look, Amalek is what needs to be forgotten. Okay? Not necessarily what he did. Him, the memory of Amalek. If Amalek used somebody to hurt us, the first thing we need to do is forgive. If we're in Yeshua, we're commanded to forgive the person, which means you release them from their responsibility towards you. You can release people from responsibility to you. You can't pardon them. You don't have the authority to pardon them. You can only release them from their responsibility to you. And the release of responsibility is actually a transfer. I transfer this person or this thing that happened to me, I transfer it to the back of Yeshua. Why do I say the back of Yeshua? In today's parashat, it says that it is a curse to be hung on the tree. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians takes that scripture from this parashat and calls Yeshua our curse bearer. Yeshua is our curse bearer. He took upon his back the weight of everything. And in the book of Colossians, he turned around and nailed that stuff to the cross, covered it with his blood, and then said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Meaning, I already forgave them. Father, you forgive them too. How about that? Relevant? Oh, I think it's very relevant. What is this Amalek? Amalek is a descendant of Esau. Actually, he's a specific descendant of Esau. Tima, which means hold in restraint, was a concubine of Esau's son Eliphaz. And she bore him Amalek. The meaning of Amalek is a people that licks up. A people that licks up to Eliphaz. So, The son of a concubine of one of the sons of Esau. It's Amalek. And he represents falsehood, lies. You know, like the song, liar. The song like that appeared many years ago. Falsehood. You can see breastlove.org if you want to elucidate more on this. Another way to say what Amalek represents, happenstance. Well, what do you mean by that? Look what the scripture said. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way as you came out of Egypt. How he happened upon you along the way. We have a name for that thing. It's called happenstance. It was happenstance. He just kind of came out of nowhere. Happenstance is almost saying random. Happenstance to the world is, I randomly stepped on the hole and twisted my ankle. It was a happenstance. Well, Amalek is the false notion that what happens to us is all random and happenstance. Or another way to say chance. What do you mean by that? Look, we need to uproot complacency and doubt from our lives. And especially this word that is characteristic of our day, apathy. Apathy. That it was happenstance or chance. And the apathy and the happenstance or chance is that whatever happens to us, the Lord doesn't know anything about it. He was taking a nap. He was in his lazy boy chair, resting on Shabbat. Well, if you heard last week, you know that I said, there's no way. That's not what's going on. And that's not what he did. That somehow the enemy wants us to think that he's not paying attention. We're under the sun, right? S-O-N, we're under the sun. Everything under the sun, S-O-N. But he's not paying attention. Wrong. Wrong. That's an Amalek kind of thing. Okay? The details of our lives are actually going to be written in a book. The book of Deuteronomy talks about the book. It's in the Hebrew scriptures. He writes in his book all the stuff that's happening. He has knowledge of everything that's going on. And it's being recorded. The book will turn into a video. Make a video out of the notes in the book. And when you go stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the judge of all, they'll play the video. And the first thing we'll go is, I don't want to see that video. I don't want to see that video. I'm here in front of Yeshua, and I don't want to see the video. But the judge is going to play the video. And all is, we're going to be able to go to that instant. This all happens in an instant, just like that. Because the heavenly world is not working in seconds. It's in the eternal present. And we'll be able to see. We'll be able to go into the details. You know, the details that we ourselves forget. When something's happening, how we felt prior to, during, and after. Even the struggle over afterwards to try to put it in perspective and give it to the Lord, which is really hard to do. In Jewish writings, like in Breslov.org, it says, the inner Amalek is unholy cynicism. That little voice inside each of us that derides, belittles, and attacks truth and goodness. Our irrational tendency to mock people who act morally. To be cynical when we see altruism. To doubt our own or other people's sincerity. These are modern day Amalekites. They wage lethal war with our soul. If we let it, cynicism can kill our every attempt to improve ourselves and smother any move towards refining our character and expressing our soul. Cynicism stops repentance. What repentance is supposed to do, we don't get there because we become cynical. So it gets stopped. So who's winning? Who's winning when that happens? If we don't repent, we don't go to the Lord when things are wrong, who's winning? The Amalekites are winning. The Amalekites are winning. We are prone to flirt with ideas, philosophies, worldly concerns, and our own free will. Oh, well said, Rabbi. We are flirting with our free will all the time. Because we know what to do. Or we say we do. Well, I know what to do, but well, you didn't do it. We say things like, I have it under control. We tell ourselves, I got it under control. Even such things are said in our minds. I do not give the Lord what he wants, but what I think he deserves. What I think he deserves. He should get what he deserves. I mean, it's a play on words, right? He should get what he deserves. He deserves everything. But by using those words, it's like we bring it a little smaller. And now we decide, we the judge, decide this is what you deserve. A little problem there, don't you think? When we flirt with Amalek, his memory is not eradicated. It's not blotted out. We compromise and disobey. Why is that? Why do we compromise and disobey? Maybe, it's because we think that Amalek looks like poop. But instead, Amalek is pleasant to our senses. It feeds the human way, the human desire, which they understand. They've been studying us since we were made. That's a long time. Okay? We believe we are an enlightened society, don't we? We have greater education. We have better ideas. And we're also proud as anything. A younger generation that says, I don't want to learn from your experiences. I want to get my own. I don't want to learn from your experiences. I want to get my own. I must experience it myself. And I will succeed where you failed. So the children go, you know, I let me do it, Daddy. Let me do it. I want to do it. You know, your mom's familiar when their child wants to take the spoon and do it themselves. And at that point, you make an evaluation. How much of that stuff all over the kitchen, all over, you know, how much of that am I willing to do? And instead, you might choose to use cereal. You know, and go ahead and use, you know, make-believe milk. You know, all watered down, whatever, no milk. And, you know, and sugar. You know, sugar cleans up with water, so. All right. And you go, okay, you can do it with this one. That's called wisdom, okay? I mean, they're going to learn either way, but they might as well learn so you don't have to, you know, hire the servant pro to come in and clean your place. All this can ultimately lead to the complete rejection of his instructions, with the ultimate consequence of rejecting his instructions is that we ourselves become rejected. How appropriate, right? The thing that we get the same, you know, it's just a theme in the Bible. When the children of Israel rebelled in Numbers 13, what were the consequences? The Rebbetzins talked about that two or three times in the last 30 years. The consequences is what came out of their mouth. Oh, that we would die in the desert. Ah, great idea. You will. Okay? So we, especially if you get angry, you will utter words that are Amalek stuff. And when the Amalek stuff gets voiced, you're giving the enemy permission to do that because it came out of your own mouth. So we curse ourselves. We do all kinds of things. We should never say, oh, I'm so blank. And put in the blank all the stuff that people put there. And instead, you should say, I'm so obedient. Right? I'm so obedient. I'm so attentive to Yeshua. I need to be more attentive to Yeshua, but I'm attentive to Yeshua. A whole lot better than some of the things that I've heard. When I first met my wife, my beautiful wife, she had a very low self-esteem from all the stuff that she had gone through, and tended to say things about her. I can never do blank. No. I love coming here, and the first thing Sam says when he sees me, best day ever. I like to be reminded, this is the best day ever. This is the best opportunity I have. Those things disappeared from Marilyn. I remember when she was fully delivered. Fully delivered of that. It was instantaneous. The next day she had a speaking engagement that she didn't know what she was going to do. She kept stressing out for months over that speaking engagement. Her first one. She went and had a great time. Come back and said, you know, am I going to go find somebody that's all, he came out of there like, but she'd been delivered. And we need to be delivered from Amalek. We need to get rid of any Amalek. We need to get rid of these philosophies and things like that and embrace the philosophy of the Most High God and His Son Yeshua. In Exodus 17:7, Amalek came to fight against his people. Here's what it says in Exodus 17:7. They ask a question. They ask a question, then Amalek came. What was the question? Is Adonai among us or not? All right, we need to ask, don't we ask that question? We know the answer, by the way. The answer is, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Who made that statement? Yeshua. Does he lie? No. Is he with us or not? There's no or not. He is with us. And we need to get rid of that kind of mindset. Because when that mindset comes, immediately Amalek comes on attack. When we start doubting, that's called doubting, right? When we start doubting that the Lord is with us or not with us. Because my righteousness, what are you talking about? Your righteousness is filthy rags. Does it ever improve from filthy rags? I put on Yeshua as my righteousness. And Yeshua, who I put on as my righteousness, he's going to be with me till the end of the age. Listen, that's in Matthew 28, verse 20. And Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, I'm sending you to do all these things, but you're not going alone. I'm going to be with you. Therefore, we don't need to doubt his presence in our lives. He is always with us. But if we forget, if we forget what happens, then we doubt. And we verbalize our doubt. Is Yeshua with me or not? And that's precisely when Amalek came and fought the children of Israel in Exodus 17. Therefore, I want to say the following. Doubt invites Amalek into our lives. We need to get rid of it. However, Yah Adonai has declared perpetual war against Amalek. Look what we lean on Yeshua and his dad. And he's in war with Amalek. Look, Yeshua and his father are in perpetual war with Amalek. When that happened in Exodus 17, they named the place Yanisi. 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 Nisi. Well, that's, the great dance teacher from South Florida that we met. Nisi Ben Amin. Nisi means my nis. The I means my nis. Nis means miracle. Miracle. Adonai Nisi, Yah Nisi, is more my miracle than it is my banner, even though it's translated banner as well. So Adonai has declared perpetual war against Amalek, and Yeshua and his dad, Yud Hey Vav Hey, he is my miracle. It's declared in Exodus chapter 17. We then most focus on the fact that Yah Adonai wants to be our miracle. He wants to be our miracle. It is significant that the one who fought Amalek, one of them, his name in Hebrew is Yehoshua, which is a type of Yeshua. That's the one who fought against Amalek. And it says he discomfited Amalek. What does that mean? That's in Exodus 17. Yeshua chalash Amalek. In other words, this discomfited, chalash, means he forced Amalek to prostrate himself. He overthrew Amalek. He decayed and weakened Amalek. So listen, Yeshua has brought Amalek to his knees at the cross. He is weakened and he is decayed. That's the truth. So, should you give Amalek any room? Some other things here. I'm getting close, actually. Getting better at time. The Torah says Amalek was first among the nations. It was first among the Goyim nations. That's in Numbers 24:20. But ultimately, it will come to a ruin. Amalek will come to ruin because he's fighting the Most High God. That's in Ephraim, in Judges 5:4, Ephraim is a type of the Gentile body of believers. It also has a root against Amalek. Read it, Judges. Furthermore, we have in Binyamin a promise of opposing Amalek. Well, who happens to be a descendant of Binyamin that we hang on to his writings and his sayings all the time? None other than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a descendant of Binyamin, and Binyamin has a thing in the scripture that opposes Amalek. In other words, Binyamin, the Apostle Paul, provides for us weapons. We have weapons for our warfare, right? You can tell me 2 Corinthians 10:4. Some of you can quote it. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty to pull down strongholds. Okay? There's another one. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Amalek, but he has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the correct mind, sound mind. So we can forget Amalek and focus on the Lord. These are the weapons that actually fight against complacency and fight against mistrust. Therefore, I believe in Kol Simcha. We need to strive to eradicate, blot out, like the Maftir said, completely the false idea of happenstance and chance, Amalek. Our situations are not happenstance or chance. The situations we're in is often a consequence of our own doing. You see, we get saved and our sins get forgiven, but the consequence, we still carry them. The train that we're carrying of consequences. The worst consequences are the ones that come out of disobedience to the Lord. We need to eradicate all notions of complacency. We need to eradicate all notions of doubt. We need to eradicate all notions of compromise and all notions of apathy. Because lo, Yeshua, our Messiah, is with us until the end of the age. Furthermore, we know what he said to us. Revelation 12 and 11. We are overcomers. We have overcome him. And the him there is Amalek, Satan. We have overcome Satan, including Amalek, by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? By the words of our testimony about the blood of the Lamb. Get the right testimony. The right testimony is not, well, when I was young, I was, you know, smoking cigarettes and whatever. The right testimony is what God has done for me. That's the testimony that brings glory to the Lord. What has the blood done when applied to me? And then, loving not our own lives even unto the death. What does that mean? Well, it does ultimately mean, in the ultimate sense, being willing to be martyrized. But I preached a message some time ago. Only once I preached it. What the Lord doesn't want us to is to love our own way. He doesn't want us to love our own way. Because when we love our own way, we're loving our life. Oh, that's a great life. I just love what I do. And, you know, and we get all messed away and don't have any room for what he wants us to do. We don't have any room for what anybody else wants us to do. We don't have any room for the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us and come on now. And we go, come on. And we turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit that's inside. You know, that's the better way. Yeshua came to give us the way. What is the better way? The better way is, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy. I come to fulfill. Even been said of old that you should love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, oh, this is a real statement. Love your friends and love your enemies. What? Well, he demonstrated that he loved the Romans when they did what the Jews told the Romans to do, which was crucify him. Who gave the order? Who's really responsible for the crucifixion? Who said, let's do this? The whole idea came from the Jewish world. The Jewish leader said to Pilate, crucify him. And he tried to get every which way, including his wife coming over and said, don't mess with him. But of course, he did. And he went ahead and handed over Yeshua. You know what he said? His blood is on you. What a great statement. Pilate said, his blood now be upon you. In other words, the blood that you're spilling is on you. Yay, hallelujah. So this idea that the Jewish world put the Messiah on the cross, well, they were in charge, but the Romans did it. The Romans did it. They were the experts at the time on crucifixion. So, no, they ain't touching it. I can't touch any blood or I'm going to be unclean to eat the Passover tonight. So they got the Romans to do it. The Gentiles were driven by the Jews to do it. They were together. They were together. Read the book, that gummit. Read the book! Then you can put to death all these other ideas about things. I'm done, but I have a prayer. I want us to pray. I have a prayer for you. I thought I would find a really, really good prayer by the Benjamite. The Apostle Paul wrote this beautiful prayer. Part of this prayer, my wife used to share with me on Shabbat, because I did a Eshet Hayil for her, Proverbs 31 for my wife, and she said, it's not fair that you don't get anything. I said, well, yeah, I'm going to get the meal you made. So, I mean, I'm interested, real spiritual at that point. She said, no, that's not enough. I've got to find the Eshet Chayil for men. And she has it. She came up with one. Anyway, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. John, do you have it? Oh, how about that? I'm going to read it, but there it is. The same version. Therefore, ever since I heard of your trust, that's your faith, in the Lord Yeshua and your love for all the Kedoshim, that's all of the congregation, I never stop giving thanks for you as I mentioned you in my prayers. That's my prayer for you guys today. That the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, our glorious Father, may give you, all of you, spiritual wisdom and revelation in knowing him. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the congregation, the Kedoshim. And what is his exceedingly great power towards us who keep faith, trusting him, in keeping with the words of his mighty strength. Verse 20. This power he exercised in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in heaven. So it's not small power. It's dunamis, big power. He is far above any ruler, authority, power, leader, and every name that is named. Not only in the world to come, world now, Olam Hazeh, on the Olam Haba, the world to come. God placed all things under Messiah's feet and appointed him as the head over all things for his community, which we are, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray that everyone here would be empowered to do what? To erase the memory. We can do that. To erase the enemy's memory. The enemy, he erases memory. No more Amalek for us. No more self-centeredness. No more licking people up. No more of that, any of that stuff. No more apathy. Lord, no more of those things. We want to forget Amalek and all that Amalek stands for. We want to instead remember. He says, don't forget. But how do you not forget? You don't forget by remembering. So what do you remember? I remember that Yeshua, my Messiah, died for me. I remember that he came, was born of a virgin, lived, was crucified, died, and was resurrected. I remember that he went up to heaven. And before he went up to heaven, he said, all power is given to me. Therefore, you guys go and do these things. But don't start now. Don't wait for me to be gone and start. Hang on a second. Hang in there for 10 more days and get the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is fully come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So, Lord, I remember you. I remember Yeshua. When I say the word Yeshua, when I say Yeshua, he speaks peace to me. Remember the song? I always remember songs, I'm sorry. You probably heard it. When I say Jesus, he speaks peace to me. As simple as to bring him up, to give him space. To let the thoughts of Yeshua come in and fill you up. Fill me up, fill me up. And when the thoughts of Yeshua fill you up, there's no more room for any other thoughts. All those others are gone. So we do what he said. The Bible said, don't forget. Right? We don't forget that what we need to do. I mean, he's not saying, don't forget Amalek. And we're saying to you, is don't forget the instruction I gave you about Amalek, to put him out of your mind. Interesting to me, I finished this message yesterday in the afternoon. I turn around, my wife was working on the computer behind me. She said, I want you to hear something. Okay. That happens about multiple times in the day and in the week. She always has something for me to consider. So, I've learned to say, yes, honey. Sometimes I don't mean it. And then she goes and she wants to react. And I said, look, I said yes. I'm a man. I don't have to have no feelings here. I'm saying, go ahead and lay it on me. Okay? That's how a man works, right? We don't need the love and the this and the that and the other. Just give it to me. Sometimes I just go, I don't want to hear when the world was created and when so-and-so happened and it was blue and the sky. Just give it to me. Straight. She gave it to me. Jennifer LeClaire wrote that she just wrote a book. And it's called Narcissist Witchcraft Against the Body of Messiah. She had my attention. You can just look at it. This is the Cheshire Cat, you know, the one in the cartoon. He hit the button, and I could hear Jennifer LeClaire talk about where this came from. She said, quote, for months, the Lord's been dealing with me about witchcraft in the body of Messiah, but it's hiding under something called narcissism. And so narcissism is being attacking the body of Messiah. So I asked the Lord, how do we do this? First of all, ring the bell, and then how? And when the lady said that, I went like, wow. I never smoked pot. Told you last week, I only tried it once, and it burned right here, and I said, not for me. So all I did was take a puff and try to inhale it. Somebody said that was the wrong thing to do. Well, I didn't know anything different. So that was it. That's all the marijuana I had here in Gainesville, in off of 20th, on Wind Meadows Trailer Park. Okay, I mean so you know it's real, and it was about this time in August, or so of that year. So I don't know what it's like to be high on that stuff. But the person who was letting me stay in his thing, he got really high. And I said, Steve, and he said, Tony, wow, Tony, wow. Don't you want to be wow? No, I don't want to be wow. I don't want to be wow. We should be able to recognize when opportunities from the Lord come, like today. Because look, you're not being asked to do something you can't do. You can control your thoughts. You can control memories. Get rid of the memories of Amalek. Get rid of the memories of the evil one and what he's done in your life. It's gone. When Yeshua forgave you anyway, that stuff he threw it as far as east is from the west. So why do you keep remembering it? Forget it. Kind of nice, huh? So what is the bottom line of today? Forget it, man. Forget it. Forget Amalek. Forget it. Forget Amalek. Forget it. Thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. I pray that instead They would, instead of the spirit of fear, that the congregation would put on the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. And that they would know that the weapons of their warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah down on his knees, which is to blot out, bringing all of that down where it belongs. Empower this congregation, Lord, as we move forward. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.